knowing that we can put them in your hands, that you are there to keep them, bless them, and be with them until you're ready to take them home with you. Prayerfully, Father, that would be many years upon this earth, but sometimes it's not. We ask your divine will be done in the lives of our children. We pray that we might learn how to raise them up in the admonition and the fear of God, that they might be obedient to your word and your commands, and be blessed and used in your kingdom. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, everybody say amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated. Are our babies with us today? We have Elena, and where is Avea? Right on the other side. Okay, Avea. And we are honored to be able to dedicate these precious children. When we begin here today, I want us to all understand that baby dedication is not so much for the children as it is for the parents. And chances are that Avea and Alea are not going to remember the message today. Just a small chance. However, they can certainly see the message lived out before them. And that comes from mom and dad. Amen? And if we're a single parent, mom, and there are some dads that actually have the children, and God gives us promises that he would be a father for the fatherless, and he will give strength and wisdom and knowledge in areas that are lacking. The Lord Jesus Christ, trust me, is more concerned about your child than you are. And if you can imagine how much you love your baby, dad sitting there holding that precious little Elena on his lap, and she's so gorgeous and pretty. Little does he know that she's going to grow up to be all kinds of trouble when boys start coming around and all of these things. But you love that little girl. There's no doubt. Mom, you love Avea with all your heart, and you want to see the best for her and raise her for the Lord Jesus. But as much as you love Avea, and as much interest and as much as your life is invested in her, Jesus Christ loves her more, and he is more invested because he understands eternity. No one understands eternity like God. He is the eternal one. He understands eternity. He also knows the gift and potential that is in these little vessels that you hold that will soon grow up, and it is God's intentions to use them in the kingdom. Amen. So we're going to read from the word of the Lord today, and we're going to speak to you about 15 minutes, maybe 20, and then we'll take the rest of the time to dedicate these precious youngins to the Lord, pray for mom and dad for strength and wisdom, and give them the little gifts and certificates that we have here today. You can remain seated as we read. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning with verse number 18, these are familiar scriptures to us. Therefore shall you lay up these, my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand. Everybody say, bind them. That they may be used as frontlets between your eyes. The Lord's saying that his command should never, ever be out of your sight. And you shall teach them your children. Everybody say, teach. Teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house. And look how the Lord describes this, and it's his way of saying to the parents that no matter what you're doing, and at all times of the day. His commandments should be before you and therefore before your children, not only physically in some fashion, but more importantly, in your life, how you live your life before your children. The Lord says, teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in your house. So when you're just hanging around doing nothing, we ought to be talking about God. Amen. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. It's incredible what the Lord is saying here. Throughout your day, you ought to be talking about me and my ways. And why? Because God's ways are the only thing that's going to keep our kids. Just in the last few years, and I don't want to get distracted before I say the few things I want to talk about here today, but we've seen so many changes in America. And just in the last few months, we've seen some major moral changes in America. And these kind of changes are like snowballs. So what you have to look at is this. For 50 years, they've been pushing this up the hill, trying to get it into schools, trying to get it into your children, getting it into media, getting it into Hollywood, that a man with a man is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with it. A woman with a woman, raising children. They're trying to program our children that this is perfectly fine and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And it took them a very long time to get that up the hill, but they got it up. And they didn't only get it up, they pushed it over, right? And so now it has been approved. And that's just one of the things. There's many, many, many other things. But one of the things that they have approved. And so now what we have to understand is that this thing's on the other side. And now it's rolling down. And what happens to a snowball when it's on the other side rolling down? It gets large very fast. And so we need to understand that this is the moral decline state condition of not just America, but the world. Actually, America is sort of lagging behind because Christianity was so strong in our country that we're lagging behind a lot of the immoral declines that are taking place in many other parts of the world. But now this thing has come over the top, and the moral decline you are going to see begin to incredibly progress in America and throughout the world. So we need something in our children that when their ears hear from the professors of the world, when their ears hear from the leaders of the world, when their ears hear from the role models of the world and the educational system of the world and the government, their ears hear these things of the immorality that's being pushed and being put into the hearts and the minds of our children, that these things are okay. There needs to be something on the inside of them, something in their mind, something in their heart, something in their spirit that has been put there by mom and dad, that when these words go into their ears, they go through a filtering system of the Word of God. And the filtering system of the Word of God says, I don't think so. Now, we're not going to teach them to be ugly and mean and rude and hateful, because that same filtering system says you're to love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you. So we're to love everybody. Jesus Christ died for the world. He didn't die for the ones that had his political and religious and moral views. He died for the world. He died for everybody, no matter how they felt, no matter what they believed. He died for them. He shed the blood for them. So our children need to understand that we love them, We pray for them that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high places of wickedness and darkness. And so that our war is not with the person, our war is with the spirit that is beginning to control the world. So they understand that on this side, so that we treat humanity with the love of Christ, but at the same time, we do not accept their immorality into our life. We do not allow it to become a part of our life. So that's the reason why the Lord is saying, when you get up, talk about it. When you lay down, talk about it. When you go out, talk about it. When you sit around your house, talk about it. When you go through the day, you need to be, your children need to be hearing from you about me and my ways and my teachings and what is right. The reason for this is not to put us in some kind of cocoon and bind us up in some kind of a religious sect or something. No, the commandments of God are for our good. We talked about this a little bit last week, but the commandments of God are for our good. It is the breastplate of righteousness. So we wear the righteousness of God as our breastplate, which protects us from the fiery darts of the devil. It protects us physically, emotionally, mentally, and etc. So parents, I come to you today in just the introduction of letting you know how important it is that you keep Christ before your children and how you live, not only your words and your teachings, but how you live and what is in your home. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, why do we do this? That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. So we're going to talk just a little bit here today about family values. And you need to hear, Pastor. Mom and Dad, you need to really hear what I'm about to tell you. Your children, Avea and Elena, they are not, if you think bringing them to the house of God and letting them sit and hear a message, bringing them to the Sunday school and letting the Sunday school teacher teach them, bringing them to the youth and letting the youth pastors minister into their life, if you think that's enough, you're kidding yourself. Is it going to be an impact in their life? Yes. But friend, listen to me and listen to me very well. Your children are going to become you. If you love God, they're going to love God. If you hold the morals, they're going to hold the morals. If you come to church and shake everybody's hand and smile and love them and go home and live like the devil, they're not going to live what they see in church. They're going to live what they see the other 23 hours of the day. That's what they're going to become. And this is why it is so important. Religious institutions are only designed by God to give direction, to help focus you as a parent in the right direction. But then you have to take that, you have to bring that home, and you have to live God's law. You have to abide by God's law. And they can't see you shake pastor's hand at the pulpit and then go home and while you're cutting your little piece of chicken open, talking about how you thought that teaching was too radical today. Because if you don't believe in me, they're not going to believe in me. And no matter what I say, they're not going to receive. Now, don't misunderstand me. You only follow me as I follow Christ. If you can't get in that book and see me following Jesus, then I'm the last guy you need to follow. You need to go find somebody that's following him. Paul the Apostle said that. Follow me as I follow Christ. So we're not talking about Kyle's ideologies or maybe personal beliefs. We're talking about the teaching of the Word of God. And we have to trust in that. And so how you live at home is important. Everybody say family values. And I want to tell you, they start right now. How old is Avea? One, man, she's getting old. And how about Elena? 3 months. Wow. You know, it seemed like in another 3 months that you're going to be going, Pastor, will you do the wedding for me with Elena? Will you And it'll seem like that's just going to be another 3 months, and boom, you know, there she is. So we don't have a lot of time. We think we do, but we don't have a lot of time. And I want to tell you something. Listen, the world doesn't waste time. And that's why if you have a television in your home, you better be careful what you let your children watch. Elizabeth and I, we don't have a television, and we have media. We watch DVDs and things like that, and we filter them, and it's family, and we have a good, but not, the reason why I don't have a television in my home is because I can't control commercials, and I can't control the junk that feeds over that line. And you can sit your little girl down and leave her watching, I don't know what cartoons are today. They're not like they used to be with me. And of course, now I even look back at Tom and Jerry, and I go, my God, that's so violent. You know, back then, you're like, wow, this is awesome. But now you look at it and go, they're so violent. They're killing everything. But anyhow, you sit her down, and she's watching some little princess dilly. You walk out, and that advertisement, while you're gone, is going to portray to her all kinds of immoralities. Trust me. Hollywood doesn't wait till they're 16 to try to reach them. See, Hollywood's smart. Hollywood intertwines it in all of their children programs and everything, and in their media, and they're real subtle. And what are they doing? They're subtly raising your child up to accept immorality. Now listen to me. They're not necessarily trying to convince them that they need to live that lifestyle. That's not even really what they're after. They're after them accepting the immorality as being okay. Because once immorality is accepted, then it becomes that snowball that rolls down the other side of the hill. And the world doesn't, you know, the world thinks that all of this is by learning, you know, just by teaching. But and they disregard that there's a spirit involved. And they say, well, we can train our children in sex education and stop them from doing these things. And then let's pass out the little packages. And I don't mean to be rude and crude, but it's happening in our high school. So I'm just trying to be straight with you, right? And so we'll hand the boy the little package, and we'll say, then we're going to teach them about sex education. And because if you can educate them, then they'll behave themselves. Well, that's the reason why the pregnancy rate went through the roof when the educational program started that foolishness. Because what they disregard and they don't comprehend or understand is it's not education, it's spirits. And you can't educate a spirit. And you can't educate the flesh. It's full of lust and failure. It's fallen. It wants things that are evil and wrong. You can't educate it. You have to subject it to the power of God. You have to submit it to the ways of God. You have to conquer it and overcome it. And these are things that they don't understand. And they say, well, all this will be controlled because of education. No, it's the spirit of the thing that gets a hold of the hearts of our children, a hold of the minds of our children. And that's the reason why that you have to be, as the Bible says, through the morning, through the day, at night when you lay them down, when you get them up, be careful what they see, be careful where they go, be careful what they do. And I'm here to tell you, it is okay to get in your children's business. Don't let the world tell you that you can't get in your children's business. And I know that you think Johnny's perfect. And I know that you think Susie is perfect. And in this case, it would be, I got to keep going back here, Avea and Elena. And I have to look at what appears to be Elena, but it's Elena. Is that right? Elena. Okay. And you have to, you're going to think that they're perfect and all. They would never do anything wrong. Listen, they are subjected to peer pressure as anyone else. And so we have to get in our children's business. And at the same time, let them feel independent and let them feel, let them grow up and have privacy. You know, we give our children privacy, but there's areas that they know. My kids know that their mother or myself can walk by, pick up their cell phone, and we know all their codes. We're not locked out of anything in our kids. We know their passwords on the computer. We know their passwords on their phone. We have passwords to our knowledge anyway. right? I mean, I'm not being foolish. I'm just telling you as much as I possibly can, I'm in their life. And we can pick up that phone and we can go through their tweets. We can, I don't think my kids tweet, but oh, do they? Do they tweet? No. We can open up their Instagram. I think that's the big deal. They have Instagram. I don't think they have Facebook. Does one of them does. Okay, anyway. But we have all of those paths so that we can go in there. We don't ask permission on stuff like that. Why? Because I'm not so much concerned about what my child might be getting into as I am concerned about what might be trying to get in my child. In other words, the connection's not one way. The connection's both ways. So there's things out there trying to come their way. If they're on Facebook or if they're on Instagram, there's stuff from that direction coming in this direction. And I understand you can block all of that, etc. But listen, we're dealing with kids that are fighting all kinds of, they're growing up. They're going through puberty. And I can't even say it right. It's been so long for me. But, they're going through all of these things in their life and all kinds of feelings and emotions and struggles in their heart. And as parents, we have to be there. And you are not just going to be able to educate them and be able to control this. This is spiritual. And this is what God is trying to tell us. If our children are going to be successful in the world today, when they get up in the morning, it's got to be about God. When they go down the street, it's got to be about God. When they come home, it's got to be about God. When they go to bed, it's got to be about God. You have got to get the commands of God in their life. But not only get them in their life, mom and dad, you have to live this life before them. That is the real impact in their life. You have to live this life before them. And we're going to make mistakes. Even as parents, we're going to make mistakes. Be honest with your kids. I've sat down with my children more than once. I would say something or do something, and I'll bring my kids in, and I'll apologize to them. And you say, oh, well, you shouldn't do that. Yes, you should. Children should understand that nobody's perfect. And by apologizing and trying to make things right, if I handle something wrong, etc., then in turn, they're going to understand. When you handle something wrong, you need to go make that right. You need to fix that. You need to apologize. You need to humble yourself. You need to do whatever it is to make it right. Listen, kids are going to love what you love. Kids are going to do what you do. I'll tell you something I've learned as a pastor. I probably shouldn't say this. I'm debating. Anyway, I'll keep it as general as possible. But over 25 years of pastoring, there's something I've learned, and I just really took me almost 20 years to learn it, and that is before you reach out and grab someone and put them in position, especially if they're younger, like in their 20s or early 30s, if you have the luxury of knowing, if their parents are in church, look at their parents. Because whatever they are, that's what you got from both sides. Now, I'm not talking about if they lived in the world and this child is redeemed, right? I'm talking about if a family raised up. This is what I mean by that. If you got parents where one of them's always rebellious and always against this and always, and you can love that young person and work with them and maybe try to get some of that out of them. But you have to understand that's what they've seen all of their life. And it is ingrained in them. Do you ever know someone and they had a little twitch and you're like, well, when I got that twitch, and then you meet their parents? I don't mind being ugly. We all have twitches, right? I mean, we all have problems. And so you might not understand my boy Luke. Luke can be a little weird sometimes until you hang around me for a little while. And then you go, we know where Luke got the weirdness, right? Like things like facial expressions and maybe comments like, what? That'd be Hannah, I guess. So you might think things are odd about my kids. In some areas, hang around daddy for a little while, or hang around mama for a little while, and you'll find out where they got all those oddities. We put them in there all of their life, every single day. Our kids become us. Now, I understand they have their own personality and all of this and all that's great and God can work in it, but they pick up on us. And so whatever you love in your media, whatever you love in your books, whatever you love in your music, whatever you love where you go, whatever you love in the things you do and the way you talk, that's exactly what your children are going to become. And so the Lord tells you and I as parents, because, you know, if we really opened up our own lives and began to look at that, we would go, man, my kids don't have a chance. We would think from the beginning that my kid, now David thinks, you know, his kids are obviously going to become the best kids in the world because David's the best guy you'll ever meet. And he'll be the first one to tell you that. Your wife's pretty awesome too. I'm just kidding. I love him to death. But, you know, if we examine our lives, we'll look at that and we'll go, my Lord, what chance, you know, do my kids have if I examine everything about me and they're gonna become like me? What opportunity possibly could there be there? And that's why the Lord says, it's not about you, it's about me. And if you'll teach them my word and my ways and my commandments, and if you'll live them the best that you can before their lives, then God says, I give you this promise. If you'll do all of that, when they grow up, he said, I'll make sure they don't depart from it. I'll be the one that'll be there when temptation comes. I'll be the one that'll be there when the devil shows up. I'll be the one that'll be there when he comes to try to do the damage or do the harm. And I will protect them and I will watch over them and I will see to it. And in some cases, that may not be the way that we want it. But you have to remember, God is eternal. And so he is not so much concerned as a temporary pain as he is what an eternal effect may have in the lives of your children. And so in some cases, he may do things in an answer to our prayers that could actually hurt us. And that's what baby dedication is really all about. Because what you're going to do, Mom and Dad, what you're going to do today is you're going to say, God, I thank you for this gift, but today I give her back to you. Now, what you might be saying, Brother Henry, is that at 25 years old, your little girl's going to look at you and say, Dad, I feel a call to missions to Australia. And so, Dad, you have to say to yourself, are we moving to Australia? Or you have to say, am I letting my little Elena go to Australia? Right? When you give them the God, that means anything. It means whatever God wants to do with Avea, that's exactly what the Lord does with Avea. And so that's what you're doing here today. So if you're not willing to do that, I suggest you sneak out when we all stand up to pray. Because that's exactly what's about to happen, is that you're giving this precious baby back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand. I want my ones that are being dedicated to come up front here, and moms and dads and aunts and uncles and cousins can come with them. To the congregation that is not coming forth, you can remain seated because we're going to be standing for just a couple of minutes here. And we have a couple of things that we want to give to Mom and Dad, and we'll let you hand them out. I'm just going to describe what they are. Wait for the family to make their way. And we have Avea. I'll let you hand it to them. And the first thing that we're going to give is going to be the envelope. And we have this on a frame. Are we waiting on someone? Oh, okay. Awesome. Okay. All right. So, moms, Elizabeth and Rachel. I never know whether it's Ruth or Rachel. That's why I hesitate. I'm just going to start calling y'all or squared, and you can figure out which one it is. All right. So, I want you to hand. Oh, you already handed. Hand it, Mom. Mom, not Dad. The envelope. Now, moms, that is a certificate of dedication, and we have it in a frame for you. But the certificate of dedication is something that's going to always be a reminder to you that I have dedicated my daughter to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that certificate is about. Hand Dad the word of God. In this case, it'd be back to Mom as well, which is perfectly fine. I want you to understand that, by the way, okay? And Dad, you are the priest of the home. And so we give you the word of God. because it is your responsibility to teach that precious child the Word of God. All right? Now, Mom, Dad's not here today. And so the Lord gives you that authority and that power to do the same thing, all right, is to teach your precious daughter the Word of God. And listen, he will fill in all of the missing spaces. If you'll bring his Word, he'll fill in everything that needs to be done. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to pray for you guys. Brother Sapp is going to come and help me in this. This is where we are going to be dedicating the babies. We're going to pray for them first, but then we're going to pray for the parents as well. We're going to pray for the parents as well in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Congregation, just stretch your hand forward. We're just going to lay hands on these precious babies, the ministry, and we're just praying for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lay hands, Lord God, upon these precious little girls. We know, Father, that they belong to you. You gave them the breath of life. And Lord Jesus, what we're asking is that you keep them from all childhood diseases. Father, we're asking, put an angel with them everywhere as they go. When they're crawling, let the angel crawl with them. When they're learning to walk, let him stumble with them. Father, when they go out from the home, let him go with them. Let the angel never leave their side, always watching and protecting and being there. And Father, we just ask it, Lord, we dedicate these precious little girls to you. And Father, they're yours now. Whatever you want to use them for, and however you want, wherever you want to bring them, God, whatever your purpose is in their life, we pray, oh God, they're yours. We want them to be used in the kingdom of God. Oh Lord, blessed by you, strengthened by you, helped by you, in the mighty, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we dedicate them to you, Father. They are yours. They belong to you, Lord God, in the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. Father, we pray for the parents right now, oh God, for wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, let courage come. Let courage come to these moms. Let courage come to these dads. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be willing to stand up against the great waves of the immorality of this world, to stand and to be strong and to teach the right ways to their children, to get the Word of God into them, Lord. I pray for Mom and Dad, Lord, that they would learn to live this life before their children. If things are in their lives that are not right, help us to get them out of our lives. Oh God, Lord, that they might see with their own eyes what it means to walk in the commandments of God, to live in the commandments of God, to go the ways of God, that when adversity comes against thy children, they'll take a stand, because Mom and Dad took a stand. Oh Father, bring righteousness upon us. Let us receive it into our hearts, into our homes, everywhere that we go. Let us abide within your law and within your ways. It is our prayer. We dedicate them, oh God, to you today. We present them, Lord. We give them back to you. When our eye cannot see, let your eye be upon them. When our arm cannot reach, let your hand be upon them. They are yours, oh God. Give us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need to go forward in the power of the Spirit and to lead them in the glory of the Almighty God. It is our prayer. It is our prayer. Amen. And I want my parents to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I hold in my hand your gift. I receive into my life this life. I will lead and guide, teach and direct my child your ways. Help me, Father, where I lack. Give me strength where I am weak. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. In Jesus' name. They're going to take some pictures. And by the way, the journey starts today. This isn't the end. This is the beginning. And good luck. God bless you in Jesus' name. Congregation, we're going to take a break for a few minutes. Thank you for being so patient. And feel free to come and greet the parents and congratulate them with the dedications of the children.